This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Deer Season Daily, October 13th. Today, I'm talking about a couple successful hunts that we had over the weekend, talking about what we got new in the shop. We had a good weekend with youth season, so I'll let you in on all of that good stuff. Some news out of Colorado that I thought was interesting that has to do with some current politics, so that's always good. Gonna, of course, do the weather and movement prediction and then the tip of the day as well. But before we get into it, don't forget about our partner here for the Deer Season Daily episodes. That's Rack's Big Game Supplements. If you guys can use minerals or feed where you're at, go check out Rack's, racksmineral.com. You can find your local dealers on there. You can check out the products online as well. You can subscribe to the channel. That helps us out. You can follow if you're on one of the audio platforms. You can leave us a review there. Again, if you're on YouTube, leave us a comment. Hit the like button. If you guys like these Deer Season Dailies, just hit the like button. You can't even tell who liked it. It just shows a number. And that really does help our videos out. It shows YouTube that people are engaging with the content and they'll actually push it out to more people to see. And the more people that see this, the better job we can do with it. So we'd really appreciate that if you just hit that like button if you're on YouTube. You can also go to RidgeHunterOutdoors.com, which is our website. And anything you find on there you want, whether it's merch or seed or scent, which you're going to have coming up this week. I was going to try to get some this past week, but I didn't get time. And I didn't quite have enough of what I needed to get it made. So this week I'm going to be making some of that. It'll be available on the website. You can use the discount code RHOPOD. That'll get you 10% off of everything in your order. With all that said, we're going to jump right into the RHO update. And like I mentioned, we had a couple successful hunts over the weekend, if you count Friday as the weekend, I suppose. Starting off with Dusty, he killed a really nice mature buck that he called Curly Friday night. This is one that he had pictures of, and we talked about it a little bit. He's just a super cool-looking deer. Not real framey, but like we talked about it, he's, I don't know what he scored yet. He hasn't scored him yet. But he should score pretty decent because he's heavy and he's got points everywhere. And he's got a really cool curly brow tine, which is where he got the name. But it was a giant bodied deer as well. Field dressed out at 235 pounds. So, I mean, you're looking at close to a 300-pound deer, if not 300 pounds on the hoof. Just a giant of a Southern Illinois buck. So, unfortunately, though, for the viewers, he didn't get it on video. He said he had the camera on him and everything and it was all looking good. And he forgot to hit the record button. It happens to the best of us. I told him that. If you guys film hunts or you try to film hunts, you know there's so much that goes into that. And it's so hard to do. That's something that we talked about on the last regular podcast with Ethan. It's like it's just so difficult, especially self-filming like what Dusty was doing, to get everything good and still make the shot and kill the buck. So, like, it is what it is. I wish you guys could see it. But nonetheless, you can go over to our pages and you can see the pictures of that buck. Also, by default, that puts us ahead of the cops in our big buck competition because, as far as I know, they haven't killed anything. So I'll keep you posted on that as we go along. If you guys don't know, we're doing a big buck contest with Thin Blue Line Outdoors, or as I like to call them, the Thick Blue Line Outdoors. And I'll tell them I said that. But whoever has the highest average score, buck score on their team at the end of the year wins. And there's some stuff that goes into all that. We talked about that on the last episode I did with Cody Johnson from the Thin Blue Line Outdoors. So you guys can go listen to that one if you want more details on the contest. But right now we're leading, so that's a positive. Also, as I mentioned, we had a couple successful hunts because Saturday, Blake and I went out and he filmed for me at the cabin property. Friday evening, I got a picture of like nine different deer in the food plot, does and fawns. And it's a quarter acre clover plot. And then I've got a quarter acre of what's supposed to be brassicas, but it's really going to need this rain that they're calling for next weekend. So I thought Saturday we'd go on a doe hunting mission, and that's exactly what we did. Blake went with me to film. Like I said, we got one down at like 5:45. I mean, we got in, there were deer moving pretty much the whole time. We had a couple fawns in the food plot. We had a spike buck come out. We saw another deer that may have been that same buck, or it could have been a doe. But deer the whole time. We shot her at like 5:45. She died almost on one of the trails I made, so we drug her out, and I pulled the truck down the driveway, loaded her up, and we were gone before 6 o'clock, I think, or before 6:20, because 6:20 was sunset. We were out of there before sunset. So couldn't beat that for a doe hunt, especially early season, and it wasn't terribly hot by the time we got to dragging her out and everything, so not bad at all. There Saturday, we had to fight some wasps in the blind. If you guys have blinds that you leave up all season, you know how that goes. Take some wasp spray with you if you haven't been in those yet. Like, it's an adventure in its own, pulling that zipper up on that blind door for the first time when you haven't been in there. We had mice in the blind too as well, so that was fun. Killed some wasps and killed that doe. I did have a good hunt Friday night too, so while Dusty was down shooting that big buck that he got, I went to one of our new leases and saw a couple young bucks, saw several does in there, had a really good hunt there Friday evening as well. We should have some video from that or Blake's hunt and my doe hunt coming up here in the next couple days. I haven't looked through all the video yet to see if I need to combine, which hunts I need to combine and which ones I can separate. I'm hoping to be able to do a video from Blake's encounters and then do a video with my Friday night and Saturday night hunts. And then that way we can have two different videos and it won't be too much all into one. But you'll see when that comes out. Again, if you hit the subscribe button, you'll know when that comes out. And that's all going to be on YouTube. I don't know if those will go up on Fall Pursuit or not for sure. Just kind of depends on how things shake out as far as putting the videos together. So keep your eye out for that. Those videos should be coming up. Also, today, the Jared Mills podcast is going to drop. I told you guys, I think last week, that we were having him on soon. We were supposed to record, I believe, Thursday night. He ended up getting caught up in the tree, hunting over a food source with just waiting for dark to get out of his stand, and his farm's a little ways from his house, so it was going to be super late, so we pushed it to Friday. We recorded Friday afternoon, so it's going to be real recent, actually, recording, and that's going to go up today. We talked about what he's got going on this year as far as content goes. We talked about that farm that he was on. It's a new farm this year. This is the first year hunting it, so we got into that. And then we really talked in depth about the benefit of mobile hunting and staying mobile, even in situations where you don't necessarily think of being a mobile hunter. So you have to listen to the full podcast to get all that. I won't divulge any more information. I want you guys to go listen to it. It was a really good conversation. Jared's just a good dude. Like, there are certain guys in the industry, there's not too many that aren't cool. And the ones that aren't, everybody kind of knows. But there's also some that are just cooler than others. And Jared's a guy, like, you can go look. He does a lot of podcasts, like Steve, Shirk, like guys that don't necessarily need to because, like, they're bigger. He's bigger than our show, so he doesn't need to come on our podcast. But he does anyway. And, like, we sat and talked for an hour with him about hunting, and he was going to the stand that evening. So to cut an hour of time out of his day says a lot about him. And again, just a super cool dude, and always enjoy getting to talk to him. So I think you guys are going to enjoy that one. Make sure you check it out. That takes us to Talking Shop. Youth Weekend is actually still going on today. They changed that maybe a couple years ago to where they would have the 3-day weekend, but most of it's wrapped up. Obviously, Saturday, Sunday, so the two bigger days, because usually, even though the kids are off Monday, a lot of the parents have to go to work, so they're trying to get those hunts in Saturday, Sunday. But it's been really good as far as this weekend goes, and we'll see what today brings. Like I'm going to talk about a little bit later, it's supposed to be hot, but we'll see. And I mean, with a gun, you don't have to get near as close, and obviously, youth hunting, they're killing a lot more deer. They're not as picky, I guess, which is great. That's what it's all about. So it might still be a good day is what I'm getting at. But the weekend, we got several deer in. A lot of does, some young bucks, some good young bucks for these kids, and a couple really nice bucks, actually. A couple mature bucks that brought in this weekend. I think one of them might have been a bow kill. I'm not 100% sure of that, but it's always one of our favorite times of the year at the shop is youth season. Like to see these kids bring in their deer, whether it's their first deer or their first buck or their biggest buck or just any deer, really. And like to see the smile on their face and how excited they are to tell the story. And even some of them are like, you can tell they're excited about it, but they're kind of bashful by nature. So they don't really, they kind of want to talk about it, but they don't really. It's just super cool. And you can just tell by the smile on some of their faces, like they're hooked for life. And that's really what youth season is all about. Getting them out there, getting them a taste of it, getting them in the outdoors to enjoy that. It's just really cool to see that every year. So obviously more deer in this weekend than we would have had if it was just regular archery season, but it did seem to be a pretty good weekend. I don't look for this week to be super busy just with the weather and everything, but again, I'll talk about that after the next segment, which is what's new. I told you earlier, we got some news out of Colorado, which I found interesting. They are issuing refunds. The CPW, which is Colorado Parks and Wildlife, they're issuing refunds for certain permits due to the government shutdown. And that is one of the repercussions of that that I had never really even considered. But when you're talking about government ground, I guess it's they've got it shut down to hunting right now. And some of these permits are for those zones or those areas. And if they can't use them, then they're refunding them. And this is from KKTV in Colorado Springs. It says, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is offering refunds to anyone who bought a hunting license for the upcoming mule deer muzzleloader season. According to CPW, all hunting on Fort Carson and the Pinyon Canyon Maneuver site remains suspended due to the federal government shutdown. Full refunds will be offered for the Pinyon County Maneuver on October 19th. Wildlife officials offered full refunds and preference points restorations during pronghorn season when the government initially shut down on October 1st. So if you burned a preference point to get the permit, they gave you that preference point back too. So that was pretty good of them, I suppose. And that was for the pronghorn hunts that were going on earlier this year when the shutdown started. And they're talking other big game hunting seasons may be considered depending on the length of the shutdown. So if it goes on, they might end up refunding some more stuff as well. So that'll be kind of interesting to keep an eye on. It's something that, I don't know, just you don't hear about that too often when you're talking government shutdown. Usually it's about government jobs and things of that nature. But that one's a little different. You don't really think about hunting permits when it comes to that kind of stuff. I personally, I think if they would stop cutting checks to the policymakers, the Congress, and all that, they would probably, like it while they're shut down, if they would just stop paying them since they're not working, the shutdown would probably get taken care of. But that's a different topic for a different podcast. On to weather and movement predictions. So today, looking at a high in the upper 70s, which really is not awesome. It's supposed to be mid-50s this morning even, so where we'd been seeing it, like in the 70s for the high, at least the mornings had been in the 40s. Not today. It's going to warm up pretty quick. There's going to be some clouds in the morning that might make it feel a little bit cooler, but as the day goes on, they're going to burn those clouds off. Those clouds are going to burn off, and it's going to be sunny and hot in the afternoon. The pressure's supposed to be around 30 all day, which is usually pretty good, but again, when it's that hot, doesn't seem to matter a whole lot. Temperature usually trumps pressure. So it's supposed to be around 30 all day, though, with almost no wind. And what wind there is supposed to be out of the southeast. So I think I talked about this on a previous one. When you got those light variable winds or those light winds out of the east, they're usually variable. They'll be swirling on you pretty bad. So keep an eye out on that. Probably not the day to crash your best spot and take a chance there unless you've just got one absolutely patterned and this is the only day you got to go get them. Then by all means. If you've got a food source that you can hunt and you can get to whichever side of it gets shade first in the afternoon, that's where I'd be. Maybe even like if you got a clover plot in the timber that's shaded really well, that would be a good place to be. So you youth hunters, or if you're taking a youth hunter out, if you got a bean field or cornfield or something and you can get to where the shade's hitting at first, that's probably where those does and first deer are going to come out in the evening. It's most of the time when it's hot, then they're going to come out in that shade to begin with. So if you got a place like that, that's where I would be for sure. I think that's where you're going to have some success this evening. The October lull is going to be tough. It's usually hits about this week, and this year I think it's going to be even worse because it's going to be hot more than likely. At least that's what they're calling for. It's supposed to be in the upper 70s all week, I believe, where we're at least. So I don't look for a ton of movement today from mature bucks. Because of that, we're hitting that lull period. It's hot. It's going to be not a lot of wind, not real breezy. It's going to be sunny. Just not real conducive because they're putting on their summer coat or their winter coats too. Like they're getting pretty thick at this point. So they're not going to be wanting to move, a lot. But if you're after a doe and you've got like a resident doe group, then you could absolutely kill them on an evening food source still. So if you're out there doe hunting, like, or if you're needing to take care of some does, this could be a good day, good week to do it really. While those bucks aren't real active in the daylight, you can get out there and shoot those does like what we did Saturday afternoon. If you got a food plot or something you can take some pressure off of, or you're just trying to balance your numbers out a little bit, going to be a good week to do that more than likely. And that brings us to the tip of the day. And this is based off the conversation I had with Jared a little bit. And again, I'm not going to get into too much about what it was, but it was also based on something I heard from Lee Lukoski on a podcast the other day. It's don't put yourself in a box. So stay open-minded when it comes to strategies. Even if like you're on private property, don't think you can't do some different stuff. If you're on public property, don't think you can't try different things. Just don't corner yourself or pigeonhole yourself into one thing. Jared talked about that with the mobile hunting on the podcast. And that's kind of like the private land aspect of it. A lot of guys think they can't go mobile on private land. It absolutely can be done. And in some cases, you should do it. And we talked a lot about that on that episode that comes out today. And I also, like I said, I just heard Lee Lukoski talking about this on a different podcast. I think it was the Hunter podcast. He was talking about how going out west and stuff has helped them when it comes to whitetail hunting for a lot of reasons. But one of them is because he started thinking, like, especially during gun season, I'm looking at this deer 200, 400 yards away and I can't shoot him. But why am I just sitting here in the blind? Why can't I go after him like we would a mule deer out west? And if you got the wind, like you absolutely can, especially guns hunting, because you only have to get within, you know, 100 yards. If you're bow hunting, it's going to be a little tougher. These deer are super wired. Like they're keyed up most of the time, so they're harder to stalk than maybe a desert mule deer. But like there's no reason to think you can't try it. If you're on private property, if you're on public land, don't think you can't make adjustments in season. Like because you come in with a plan and you've done all your scouting and you know where this stand should be and you put in permanent stands and whatever it might be or blinds, don't think you can't adjust from that because it might be the difference in killing your target buck or just watching him until the neighbors do. So that's all I got for this. I want to say this week all the time because that's how we do our podcast. That's what I got for today. I'll see you guys tomorrow on another episode of Deer Season Daily. And don't forget, check out that podcast that drops later with Jared Mills. Appreciate you guys tuning in. See you later.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.